In Living Color, the barrier-smashing sketch show from the 90s, a mostly black cast, black writers, writing for black America. Anyone else want to join in? Fine. Creator Keenan Ivory Wayans tapped the best in talent. Chris Rock played that cheapskate who wouldn't pay more than $1.25 for anything.
How much for a new paper?
35 cents.
35 cents? Good Lord! That's a lot of money. How about I give you 10 cents and you give me the good news?
The good news is when you leave.
And the white guy was played by Jim Carrey, who played Fire Marshal Bill.
Don't touch that dial, Mary Tyler Moore. It's a zombie! Not quite, son, but I do appreciate the Haitian culture. I'm Fire Marshal Bill Burns, and nobody likes a quitter. Scalpel!
Keenan Ivory Wayans was a student of television. He wanted a dance group like Jackie Gleason's June Taylor dancers. He called his the Fly Girls. They inspired generations of young women. Here are some lining up for a 2012 reboot.
So we're here at the Fly Girl auditions for In Living Color. It's coming back.
Fly Girls were the best of. They were the best dancers, the most technical, the most fun to watch, the best looking. They took care of themselves. They were the whole package.
Fly Girl is for sure an icon. It's like something that little girls can look up to. Like,
yeah,
I want to
models.
Be them. I used to look up to the Fly Girls like, oh,
yes.
One day. So even to be here is like
a big deal.
Thank you. I always wanted to be a Fly
The Fly Girl.
Girls
were choreographed and really created by Rosie Perez, who went on to be, well, Rosie Perez, the Emmy and Oscar-nominated actress. In Living Color was based in L.A. She was from New York, Puerto Rican, with the now famous accent. She'd shuttle home to troll hip-hop clubs for the latest moves. The girls' outfits were considered high hip-hop fashion. Recently, Rosie, along with some of the show's cast members, reunited at the 18th annual Tribeca Film Festival to celebrate the show's 25th anniversary. We thought we'd ask her about it as well. Rosie Perez, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And take us back. You know, for people who might not have been there 25 years ago, how much fun was this show and how much of an opportunity was it for someone of color?
The show was really, really fun. And for people of color, it was an amazing opportunity. You would walk into the office and there were people of color there. So
the idea of doing something that was kind of a black SNL had been floating around for a while. You had danced in clubs. You caught the eye of Don Cornelius in Soul Train, but he didn't seem to get you.
Yeah, I had asked him way back when. I said, would you be my manager? And Don Cornelius' response was, in order to manage someone, they have to have something to be managed. And I said, excuse me? He goes, besides of you just shaking your I mean, what is it?
Ooh.
And yeah. And I got up and I walked out of his office. And it was years later, I was choreographing an event for AIDS. And Mr. Cornelius was there. And he says, I owe you an apology. I was wrong.
You had real skills. Where did you get your dance chops?
Well, I was a ward of the state for a while when I was younger, and the nuns taught me how to tap dance and modern dance.
This was at a Catholic children's home in New York.
Yes, and it was run by nuns and priests. That was the beginning of it. And then in school, I was the manager of the cheerleading team. I would say those two elements were what led me to become a choreographer.
A lot of do-it-yourself stuff back then. We talked about Don Cornelius. Then you go to Los Angeles. You're out dancing at a club. Spike Lee is there. He was having a butt contest to see which black chick had the biggest, I'll say, butt to promote School Days, which disgusted you, but what? You decided to do what?
I jumped on the stage and climbed up on the speaker and started making a mockery out of it all. I was like, is this what you want? And I was bending over and he brought over a security guard, and I thought they had brought him over to throw me out. And he says, we just don't want you to get hurt. Get down. So I got down, and he goes, tonight is fate. And I said, oh, you wish. And I had no idea in his head he was considering me for Do the Right Thing.
You know, you think you're slick, Tina.
I don't know. How else was I going to get you up here? I haven't seen you for a week.
I'm working, you know, making money, getting paid.
I see you've forgot the ice cream again. You know, your memory's getting really ridiculous. It's disgusting.
I just forgot. You know, I got a lot of things in my mind.
Yeah, and I really wanted some ice cream, too.
Look, you're making
That was Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing. Then you're hired for In Living Color. You held a nationwide search for dancers. It attracts hundreds of them. And here's a clip showing an audition that you held for the show.
When I call your name, step over to the side. That means you have been picked. Everybody else, give yourself a round of applause. It was a great audition. This is not the one. We're just narrowing it down even further. Okay? Okay, so girl at the blue top, checkered pants, Jennifer.
Okay, so that Jennifer is J-Lo, who became a member of the Fly Girls in season 3. So talk about Fly Girls.
Initially, Keenan Ivory Wayans had offered me the job, and I was very excited about it. And when I walked in, the prejudice kicked in right away. As soon as I opened the door, it's like, okay, she's New York, she's Puerto Rican. You know, they had all these preconceived notions of who I was and
that's
and my
interesting
abilities.
That's interesting because, you know, almost exclusively black cast, writers, staff, everything. You were of color, but brown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. And I had an assistant who had been working with me forever. His name is Arthur Rayner, and he's black. He just looked at me and he said, forget these girls. Come on, let's do our thing. And thank goodness he said that because he knew the real me. I was shaking inside. Mm. And I said, okay, line up. And, you know, and that's how it went.
I'm back, a black queen, upon the scene with a knack for funky tracks. Know what I mean? Prince Paul produces this, and it's a fly one. It had to be that way. He's one of my sons.
It went beyond the choreography. You chose and edited the music, helped craft the whole image. The show won Primetime Emmy Awards for Outstanding Variety Music and Comedy Series. It won People's Choice Awards for Favorite New Comedy Series. It had characters like Homie the Clown, the verbally abusive clown doing gigs for low pay as part of his prison release program, played by Damon Wayans. Let's listen.
All right, children. My name is Homie D. Clown.
Yeah! Here, Mr. Clown, it's the apple for you.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Look, children, an apple for the teacher. Mm-hmm. In other words, you're trying to win my affection and become the teacher's pet, ain't you?
Okay, well, it was pretty funny at the time. But when you listen to this, you know there were questions about what is happening here. They were not doing the show for a white audience. But a lot of people questioned, you know, was it too ethnic? Was it stereotypical? What were they doing? Were you part of any of those conversations about what the show was supposed to do?
We already all knew what the show was supposed to do. And coming from New York, you know, for me, In Living Color reminded me of The Colored Museum by George C. Wolfe. The Colored Museum was a series of skits that were performed on Broadway as a part of a collective, like a whole play. It was being unapologetic and discussing issues in the African-American community from an African-American's perspective. Mm-hmm. When I was pitched what In Living Color was all about, I was very, very excited.
Well, you can find clips of the Colored Museum on YouTube, and on your recommendation, we have one. This is Miss Pat, a black stewardess in a bright pink uniform on a ship departing from the Gold Coast. Let's listen.
Hi. I'm Miss Pat, and I'll be serving you here in Cabin A. Now, we'll be flying at an altitude that's pretty high, so shackles must be worn at all times.
Oh, you can see the line from that to In Living Color. Here's another clip. Damon Wayans and David Greer starring as the gay movie critics.
Welcome to Men on Films. Tonight, we have a brand new sponsor. Ballpark Franks. They plump when you heat them.
That they do.
Okay. It goes on. Rosie, how would you place In Living Color in television history?
Oh, I would say that it's in the at least the top 50 or maybe even top 25 of influential, game-changing television shows in American history, you know, because it dared to be what it wanted to be. And it was so collaborative as well. Like you just played that clip about the gay movie critics. Damon Wayans and David Alan Greer would come to me and say, okay, give us the lingo of, you know, the gay culture, since you're back and forth to New York. And like I said, well, you could say, oh, you got red. And they go, what does that mean? And, you know, so I said, you should like snap in the air. And they go,
wait, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean? You got red.
When somebody reads you, they kind of tell you off, and they just insult you in the most clever way. You got red.
So collaborative. And also they recognized a New York Puerto Rican choreographer. They recognized you.
Yeah, well, that was Keenan. You know, it was fantastic. I just had dinner with Jim Carrey, and we just started crying at dinner. I was like, oh my gosh, it's been years. You know, everybody was just, it was a family, and it was really, really fantastic.
That's actress Rosie Perez, the Fly Girls choreographer on In Living Color, talking about what would be the 25th anniversary of that terrific, groundbreaking show. Rosie, thank you so much.
Thank you. And I'm so happy that you're doing this because it's well deserved.